Also, next week we begin the week for us. It's our Christian week. I mean, it's better than Christmas. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Can I get a strong amen?
Amen.
There's no gifts like Christmas, I know. But what we're about and the gift we can get, the possibility of new life in Easter is just a wonderful and an awesome thing. And we ought to know that. We ought to know that. And give ourselves to that. Next Sunday, we will begin our Holy Week with Palm Sunday, as we remember Jesus entering into Jerusalem on the donkey, and we ask ourselves, what does it mean for us to ride beside Jesus or to walk beside Jesus? Enter Jerusalem. And what kind of effect does that have on our spiritual life? On Maundy Thursday next week, we will celebrate as a family here with communion at the rail as we receive that gift and remember the meal Jesus had with His family. On Good Friday, we will have the service from darkness to light and end in silence, which I find one of the most moving services of the year, even though disturbing, moving. Finally, on Saturday next week, our 6:33 service, our youth service, will be moved from Sunday to Saturday night, so you know that. Saturday at 6:33 service that meets at 6:33, just so you know. We're a little weird here if you didn't know that yet. Finally, on Easter Sunday, we have 6:30 sunrise, Easter service at 9, and 10:30 as well. And let me ask you, plan on participating. I know spring break's coming up soon, and you all are thinking about getting away to someplace warmer, or who knows where you're going, but we are too, but plan on giving yourself to the week. And I don't ask you that just because we need numbers here in the church to count. I don't ask you that just because we like to have you here, although we do. I don't ask you that because you contribute. Even if you come one Sunday, the fact that we are together as a family, every little person, big, little, whatever, contributes to what is here. I ask you that so you do it for yourself. Because I firmly believe the more we are engaged in the story of Christ, the more we are engaged in the community of Christ and His Word, especially around the opportunities of having new life and hearing that story, the more powerful we can grow in grace. So plan on being here as much as you can. Fly back from wherever you need to fly back from. Maine? Yeah, well, it's not too far. Yeah, all right. Secondly, let me encourage you this. Invite somebody to come and be part of our services here next week. We say that a lot, but it's a great thing. There are people within our community that need loving communities of grace like we are here in this place. Are we perfect? No. But there are people in this community that need a loving community like this. I also know a number of you go to different churches. Who they're asked by other friends to go to different churches at different times. You worship with them or attend Bible study. We have people that do that here that come from other churches. And I think that's great. You know, if they ask you to their church, ask them to ours. Because I think this is a wonderful community of grace which you can grow and learn. That's why we're here. That's why we do what we do. And maybe this can be a wonderful second church for somebody. That's okay. It used to be that wasn't okay, you remember? Lutherans and Methodists didn't talk about stuff. We're not that way anymore. And we can learn from different people. I listen to different pastors during the week through iPod. You know, because, you know, the pastor here, I don't get much out of that. It's like I know what he's going to say before he says it. That was really a bad joke, wasn't it? Sorry. But consider that, because we want community of grace, not just our Redeemer's Methodists. We want a community of grace in which we participate fully in all this community. Saying that now, I do want to just end up our discussion this week, or at least give the final, you know, put the roof on. As we study, as we talk again and focus on issues of forgiveness. And it's been a hard Lent, hasn't it? Do you think it has been? Me, when I think about forgiveness and trying to teach what forgiveness is about and trying to preach what forgiveness is about, I start remembering things I don't want to remember. It's been hard. But, you know, I think that's okay. And our Monday evening Bible study, as we've been looking in depth in forgiveness, as we've really asked people to look at what are the forgiveness issues they have in their life, forgiving themselves and receiving God's forgiveness, or forgiving those in their family they are close to, or maybe a really deep forgiveness, a really deep hurt they've got trying to give over to God and receive forgiveness. One of the leaders in that study, you know, said in one of the classes, he said, "Pastor Bill, you know, of all the studies you've done, I feel the worst about this one of all. But she keeps coming back. Why? Because sometimes we go there. We don't want to go there. We don't want to go there, but sometimes if we dare go there and have the assurance of God's love, it makes a huge difference. So I really appreciate you keep coming back here. I think you're a little nuts, but you keep coming. That's great. When we talk about issues of forgiveness, there are three levels we want to talk about. Two we've mentioned already, and the third I want to get to at the end of the sermon. First, we've talked about ourselves. What does it mean for us to live as those who are forgiven and free? As we have listened to pastors and counselors and psychiatrists on our videos that we've been using, we have heard one of the central issues of all forgiveness is being able to forgive ourselves. If we can get there, that's the best foundation to forgive others and to make a contribution of redemption and forgiveness in the world. Forgive yourself. What's the evil that's so big in your heart that you can't let God forgive you for? Forgive yourself and be free. Be free to live in the ways of love and grace. Scripture tells us this strongly in many places. 1 John 1-9, it says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. We don't have to do it. God can do it. If we confess our sins and let ourselves be forgiven. Let ourselves be forgiven. Secondly, Acts 3:19 says, repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out. The times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Don't you want to be refreshed? To be forgiven is to be refreshed. And that's a wonderful and a powerful place to start. If we don't get there, how can we ever forgive anybody else? Last week, we took another notch up, if you will. We took another step, another level, and asked ourselves, what does it mean for us to forgive others? And I gave each of you a rock. Did anybody take the rock? And I hope you threw it someplace. Not at the person you want to forgive. But I ask you just to take that, you know, that resentment and anger you're holding on to and let it go. Put it in the garden, someplace. You know, just let it go. As a symbol that we need to let go of that anger and resentment and unforgiveness sometimes that are built up in all of our hearts. Not just some, everybody's. And when we can do that, man, isn't that refreshing too? Let go of the hurt somebody has perpetuated on you. And how we can be refreshed in ways of love and grace with that. We also talked about ways of forgiveness and what happens when an offense occurs. How do we reconcile? How do we come to those terms of forgiveness? You know, come to terms with when we have been offended or hurt very bad. And we talked about four things you see at the bridge behind me. The bridge of forgiveness. You know, sin that separates us. We cross that bridge to be reconciled with God and each other. Well, first of all, we talked about justice, the one on the left. How when we are offended or when there was a crime committed, justice needs to happen. We need to have jails. That's just true. And people need to be held accountable for that. And that's one way we do that. A second way is with restitution or sometimes even retribution. You have to be really careful of that. But there is a sense people ought to pay back when they've hurt others. That's just reality. And we ought to acknowledge that and say that's the way it is. But then, what if you stop there, halfway across? I do know some folks who have been hurt deeply and would like justice and restitution in their life, but the one who perpetuated that hurt against them isn't around anymore. Or there's no way they can hold them accountable for that. And do we let that keep us from living in the fullness of love and grace? Do we let that keep us in anger from morning to night? Or can we dare do it another way? Or I have even known people who have been drastically offended and hurt by other people, and they have got justice, and they have got restitution, and sometimes they've got retribution, but they still can't let go. They still live with that, even though they've got justice. I suggested last week we need to be people also of mercy, to be able to grant mercy to others and not live for getting back. Doesn't that feel sweet, though, sometimes? But not live for getting back is to have the spiritual courage from God to grant mercy in relationships to each other, in relationships in our world. Because if there was not mercy in our world, if you had to account for every little wrong that you did, where would you be? We'd all be in jail. Finally, I suggested we ought to consider forgiveness. Not because you ought to forgive others. Christ says, you know, something about forgiveness, but not that you ought to forgive others, that it's a law, only good people forgive. No. When we are burdened by unforgiveness and resentment and anger, we can't live in the peace of Christ that we are promised. We are keeping ourselves from that. Forgiveness is a gift, yes. We give to others. But it's a gift that gives back as we are unburdened by that and can live in the freedom of love and grace. Today, as we put the roof on, I want to give you just a few things we've talked about in our class and then close with a DVD. And it's a hard but a powerful one to see. First of all, in the gospel lesson today, Jesus says, unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart, you'll be like the unforgiven servant. God will not forgive you. And let's look at that in context. The one who sent his son to die for us, do we think he's accounting up there? You forgave here, you didn't forgive there. And he's going to pay us back for that? No. Forgiveness is reciprocal. If we can't have it in our hearts to forgive others, if we can't let go sometimes, and forgiveness is offered to us, will we have the spiritual strength then to receive forgiveness? Or does our own unforgiveness burden us and keep a wall between us and the love and the grace of God and the love of each other? You forgive, and then you are prepared to receive that grace and that love. Forgiveness is reciprocal. What goes around comes around. That's the power of Jesus' teaching. Secondly, I would suggest this. If we think about specifics of forgiveness, when we forgive, we ought to forgive and verify. Do you know what that means? Remember the story of Joseph and his brothers? Joseph, his brothers sold him into slavery. They wanted to kill him. And his brother showed up in Egypt. Do you remember that story? Give me an amen if you remember that story. Y'all look at me like, what? Remember, his brothers showed up, and what could he have done? One, he could have put them all to death. He was in control. He was in power. He could have got it back. Retribution, right? Secondly, he just could open up and said, man, I'm glad to see you. I know it was a mistake. Come on in. And perhaps let himself get abused again. But what did he do? He verified. He made them do some things and he watched to see what would happen. We don't just forget and put ourselves back in an abusive situation. Don't do that. You forgive and you verify if you're going for reconciliation. So remember to do that. Third, remember that when we are hurt, when people hurt us, often it is their own brokenness and their own pain and the violence that's been perpetuated against them that has contributed to them hurting us. They might be victims of hate, confusion, and violence. Doesn't excuse it, and there still needs to be accountability. But enough is trying to forgive. It's important to remember sometimes there are reasons why people act that way. And that can soften our heart, I believe. Next, I think we need to remember that people are not enemies. Is everybody a child of God? That's what we say. People are not our enemies. Misunderstanding, discrimination, violence, hate, and anger, when they are acted out in others, they are the enemy. And we need to remember that, not people. Finally, I would suggest this. Forgiveness is not forgetting. Do you remember that awful phrase, forgive and forget? Throw that baby out. I think it's because it's an alliteration. They both begin with the same word, their same letter. Forgiveness is not forgetting. Forgiveness is about incorporating a memory that you have back into your life in ways so it doesn't paralyze you and in a way so you can be spiritually healed and healthy. It's remembering, but remembering in a different way. Forgiveness is a powerful thing. Sometimes, and I know I do this myself. I say to myself, you know, forgiveness, forgiveness, forgiveness. And then I think about something from the past I'm really holding on to. How can I forgive that? Has anybody been there besides me? I'm going to show you something. And if this can happen, I wonder what we can do in our lives. If this can happen. This is a story about two men, a father and a grandfather. And it's only 2 minutes of stuff. I'm going to show them back to back. We'll go consistently, straight through. The grandfather's son shot this other man's son. And what would you do with that? Let me show you what they did.
This is a real story. And you're going to see how choices can affect your life.
His grandson murdered this man's son. And today they brought us all here in the power of compassion and forgiveness.
And when we are introduced, this man's grandson killed this man's son. This is the first time in their young lives they've actually seen an alternative to violence. Mostly what they see in our culture is an eye for an eye.
No, when Azeem forgave Tony, it allowed Azeem to begin a healing process. And it helped him and his family begin to heal from this traumatic loss. When he forgave Tony, it had the also unintended benefit of helping Tony, because Tony was burdened with this guilt of having killed this man's son.
So who's going to be a forgiving person from now on?
Me.
All of you, I hope,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Thank you very much. Good to see you.
All right.
Take care.
Now, the long-term benefit of that forgiveness is that Azeem and I are brothers. He is my best friend. There's nothing I would not do for Azeem Kamisa. There's nothing he wouldn't do for me.
Can you imagine their friends? Can you imagine their friends? Because what has, because of that awful tragedy, you saw the young man that perpetuated the violence. His picture just flashed on the screen for a moment. You saw that. Because of the possibility of mercy and forgiveness out of these two men, what's happening? They sit in classrooms and give young people an alternative to an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. They give young people and us an alternative to seeing things the way the world and evil wants us to see them. They get you, you get them back. And the circle goes on and on and on. The beginning of the service, I don't know if you remember the prayer concern, Shirley Odegaard, one of the prophets in our congregation, she talked about a shooting. Do you remember? Violence. By forgiveness and mercy, will that stop everything right away? No. It won't. But if we are those who dare to live out the words of Jesus Christ that says we are to forgive our enemies and we are to pray for those that persecute us, if we dare to live that out, imagine in our small circles what the message would be and what kind of power and grace and love we could loose into this world. Paul tells us in the first reading we had today, that church, you know, they're trying to kill them. They're oppressing them. There are all kinds of stuff that are happening. But he said, we're not dead yet. And God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. And when we live that, people understand what Jesus is about. If you can forgive, man, what a message that is. Our world, our children, and our youth need to see us forgive and show mercy. And that message will grow and grow and grow. I believe that. So I would challenge you today to know forgiveness. And do you start there? I don't think I could do that personally. I'm not trying to say I could. But I do have some people in my life that I haven't been able to forgive. Do you have any of those? Start with somebody that's really got on your nerves. That really has offended you. Maybe it was a job situation. Maybe it was a family situation. Maybe it was something that really hurt you deeply. You know, you really feel that. Dare to take a first step and give it over to God. And let God's grace touch you. Because I think that's the only way it can happen. When we open ourselves to the grace of God and let Him strengthen our spirit, we can know mercy and forgiveness for ourselves, for others, and we are a powerful force in the world. I invite you to know Jesus Christ. Come next week to hear the story fully, from Palm Sunday to Open Tomb, that we might be also those people that live forgiven and free. Let's bow for prayer. Loving God, we thank you for the gospel you have given us in Jesus Christ. We thank you for the opportunity to give of ourselves financially and in service that your word might be spread. We thank you that we might tell your story, the story of Christ in our world. But Lord, help us know the redemption in our hearts that we might demonstrate and show the forgiving power of our Lord and Savior. So Lord, touch us this week. Prepare ourselves for Holy Week, that we might walk into Jerusalem, that we might feast at the communion table, that we might know silence and darkness, but we might know the resurrection of Christ. It's in His name we pray. Amen.